Welcome back to the Hoops Temple Podcast, Kings Edition, although not Kings themed this time around. Joined by Jack Dan, as always, we're doing Joel Embiid and James Harden trades. Jack, what are you thinking?
It's been around the news with these two. There's been a lot of teams linked to them. There's been a lot of teams who have been out. I'm curious to think what Mr. Chairs thinks the ideal destination for especially Embiid is.
The Embiid rumors haven't been as strong. It's just kind of the inkling, like maybe he's for the first time referenced like, hey, I might do this elsewhere. I'm not going to die in a Sixers uniform. Because when the building crumbles around him, he kind of has to face like maybe this isn't working out. And maybe like maybe I've had the worst teammates of any superstar in NBA history in terms of Harden and Simmons. But right now we've gone through this Harden saga of him going to China, saying Daryl Morey's a liar and I'm never going to play for him. And then saying, I'm going to say that again in case you didn't hear me. And then repeating himself, which was honestly one of the most insane clips I've ever seen. And I watched it like six times to make sure it wasn't edited or doctored or something, but he really said that. So we can start with Harden. It's so tough to find a Harden trade because not just the suitor has to be right, but Morey has to accept like a star package back. So honestly, I did this in a way that Daryl Morey is a sane person and is willing to accept deals that a regular, normal-thinking person would take instead of being stuck in his I better get a star or fuck off kind of ways. So these are just good GM moves. Maybe Daryl doesn't love him, but I run the Sixers now.
Yeah, the Daryl Morey aspect of it is kind of difficult because, like you said, he's known for refusing to get, I don't know, finessed, for lack of a better term. And that will, you know, he's willing to hold out with a player. So I went and I made sure to give the Sixers some value back just to make sure it felt a little realistic. But in all seriousness, the Harden market is not great.
Why would it be? Why would it be? He's not good enough anymore. It got to the point last season where it's like, okay, you can get a few good playoff games, but you're going to have more bad ones than good ones. And he's going to quit on your team. It's this awful track record we've really never seen from a star. Like, I mean, Kevin Durant should call James Harden every day. Like, hey, man, thanks for being yourself because people don't hate me anymore. And now they think, yeah, like, you're the problem. Do you want to propose your first James Harden trade?
Yeah, so let's start with the Clippers because that's been the team to look at, especially in terms of Harden. It was the team he initially, you know, requested to go to. And I notably did not include Mann in this deal because the Clippers were pretty adamant about the fact that they wouldn't trade him. So I'm going to respect the Clippers here and say that their package to get James Harden looks like Norman Powell, Marcus Morris, Jason Preston, and a pair of first rounders. That works for the money. I think it gets accepted on both ends because you're not including Mann and you're getting Harden out of this. And I don't think the Clippers feel too horribly about losing Powell, losing Morris, and especially Jason Preston. It's just kind of a throw-in to make the money work. I don't know. What do you think?
It's an interesting move. I can't imagine the Sixers accepting that just because there isn't a lot of value coming back. But at the same time, part of me just wants to say Embiid was the MVP. Get him a teammate that doesn't disappear on some nights. No Ben Simmons, no James Harden, and just see him in that environment with some 3-and-D guys, some nice spacing, and what that's going to look like. And I'm kind of interested. I don't think the Sixers would do that, but
yeah,
because they're going to say, the Sixers are going to call the Clippers, like, hey, can I have Paul George? The Clippers are going to say, that's awesome. No. And then they're going to hang the phone up, and they're going to stare at each other like that for 10 straight hours. It's going to be just a complete stalemate.
The Clippers are a really hard team to come up with a trade that isn't just this. You know, maybe you could put Robert Covington in place of Marcus Morris or any one of those guys. And you're still not going to get a ton of value because outside of the big three, I'm including Terrence Mann in that big three, there's not a lot of value on that Clippers team. Like KJ Martin, is that really moving your needle?
Not much. There really isn't. But it's such a fun trade to fun team to boot up the trade machine for because they have salaries to go anywhere. They got expiring because you can get anyone on the Clippers. It's so much fun. But yeah, I'm going to propose my first Harden trade. And it's interesting value. It's two teams, maybe one team trying to take a step forward, the Sixers just trying to maintain so they accept this package. But in this one, the Bulls get Harden and the Sixers get DeMar DeRozan and Patrick Williams. And I liked this because DeMar DeRozan's still really good and Patrick Williams is kind of the young player that offsets the fact that he's not as good as Harden. Both teams can make the playoffs again. The Sixers maintain their championship contending status, if or maybe second round status, but still, what do you think?
That is interesting. I didn't expect a Bulls-Harden mixture. Do you think the Bulls say yes to that? I don't know how much better they get. Do they get picks from the Sixers? Like, is it just flat, straight up?
I just had it flat, straight up. In the sense that the Bulls would get better because Harden's better than DeRozan, even better in the playoffs, which is kind of insane. But DeRozan is an expiring contract, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. Yeah. And so it's possible the Bulls would get nothing at all, and maybe they just move their chips into a little bit of something else, and they'd probably be a better team because of it.
The one issue I could think about with the Bulls there is they're at that point, especially if you're losing Patrick Williams as well, who I actually think is still kind of a decent piece, their forward depth all of a sudden becomes very little. You're starting to look at, you know, Javonte Green getting a lot of minutes. I can't really think of, maybe, God forbid, Tony Bradley. There's not a lot of great forward, power forward especially. That's not a deep position for him.
That's a good point. All right, hit me with your next one.
So I was boring with the last one, saying the Clippers. So let's get weird. I'll do one of my fun Harden ones. And this one has to happen at the deadline for it to work. And that is the blockbuster move of James Harden going to the Warriors.
Wow.
So Chris Paul's thing has to expire, his recently traded restriction. And the logic here, how this happens, is the Warriors panic. Paul looks bad, and the Warriors don't look great, as like the Curry and Paul backcourt isn't working. So they say, hey, Sixers, Chris Paul, we'll throw in Moses Moody for your trouble of taking Chris Paul, who's got another year of his deal, and he's, you know, noticeably worse than James Harden. You get Moses Moody, you get Chris Paul, and we will take James Harden. And then all of a sudden, you've got a Curry and Harden backcourt, which is terrifying.
That's so much fun. I just want to see the internet explode. Because if you're a Curry guy, you're not a Harden guy. If you're Harden, you're definitely not a Curry guy. And they just rip their hair out trying to figure it out. But I like the idea of finding teams that might be unhappy later. When I was looking through it, I was trying to see teams that are struggling right now and picking a direction. But to predict an unhappy Chris Paul and kind of a weird Warriors team is interesting. I really like that. Because that's totally possible. And if the Sixers are still holding out at that point, and they might just be like, this is the deadline, Harden's just going to walk after the season, we have to do something. Maybe another pick or another player is thrown into that instead of just Chris Paul and Moody. But other than that, honestly, really good stuff.
Right. The one issue I could maybe find there is that the Warriors don't love, or maybe Curry doesn't like the idea of Harden. I don't know if there's any sort of personal thing between the two of them, but I know that they used to be sort of a hot rivalry. But
yeah, same with Chris Paul, and they got over that.
Exactly. I actually think, and it's even better that this is 2024, 2023 Harden rather than, you know, peak 2018 Harden, because this is a Harden that passes. This is a guy who is looking to pass first. He averaged, I think, like 10 plus assists last season. Having a guy that can primarily run that sort of offense but also be a threat to score while Curry just runs around and shoots threes looks kind of lethal.
Could you get him to buy into that package, though, or that system? Because we had issues with the fit with Chris Paul, and he kind of likes to pick things apart, sit there and watch it break down. Harden loves to do that and have the ball in his hands and get assists at the last second. And I mean, how old's Harden going to be? He's going to be 34.
He's turning 34 this week.
Okay. You look at a much different role for him if he's going to Golden State. Maybe just completely staggered minutes, or it'd be weird. It'd be weirder than the Chris Paul fit, but I am kind of interested.
But, you know, to be fair, he's a guy that he's 34 at this point. He's got every other accolade you can think of. If he wants to save his legacy and he wants to really cement something, the general consensus is that Harden needs a ring. And that is a pretty good chance to get it if you're playing with Curry.
I don't even know if that's it, if that's the solution. I feel like the way to save his legacy is to stay on one team for longer than 6 months. If he jumps ship again and then wins a ring, it's like, all right, he requested a trade 4 times in a row until it worked. Like, who gives a shit? I don't care anymore. Like, it's not a valid ring anymore. I don't care. Okay, my next Harden trade. This is a fun one. The Pelicans get Harden, looking to take a step. in the Western Conference. They also get Daniel House Jr. for salary cap reasons. But the Sixers get the 2024 Lakers swap, Dyson Daniels and CJ McCollum. I like this deal because I just feel like the McCollum and Daniels backcourt is more interesting than just the Harden backcourt. For the Sixers, you get the young player in Daniels, and CJ McCollum's really good. I feel like he's been so used to being second fiddle so often, and a pretty good one next to Dame. I feel like he'd really flourish in that kind of off-ball thing next to Embiid, and the pick's always fun to have too.
Right, and then you sort of allow CJ to go back into his more comfortable two role next to Tyrese Maxey. I really like that one. I think Daniels is a guy that needs the correct development structure around him. I'm not sure if Philly's the place for him because they are historically not awesome at developing point guards. So, you know, there's that angle of it. But I like that as with the McCollum Maxey backcourt. I think that's fun.
And these are my two Harden trades where I can envision the Sixers agreeing to that because they would maintain some contender status. They'd be like, right. Okay, I think they could win a title with CJ and Daniels and that first, or what they turn that first into or something. If they have the same right. chance with Harden and Embiid, that's my take on that.
Yeah, I think that, again, this is an Eastern Conference this year, especially, that is relatively open. I know the Celtics look pretty good, but the Bucks had their moments of weakness last year. I think a team with a McCollum, Maxey, and Embiid team is definitely a deep contender there.
With Nick Nurse, a new coach, get a different look at it. And I think Nick Nurse would kill James Harden on the sidelines by like week two,
right?
Which is great. I think they need someone with that kind of fire. But talking about the Celtics really quickly, you already have these foot injuries with Kristaps. He's sitting out, and that's terrifying if you're Boston, because you signed this guy who gets hurt all the time, just had a pretty good season, and he's having not like ankle issues, but like the bottom of the foot.
Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah, and that's scary. That's really scary. Because I think I said another podcast together that you walk on feet all the time. Tough to get off them, and it's tough to rehab stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's and wide open as ever with Milwaukee.
He just had a career year, too. It would be a shame if he was hampered again.
Yeah. So Milwaukee's had those issues with Chris Middleton. And
yeah, he gets hurt a lot, and that team is old.
Yeah, on Sunday we did our top 50, me, Nate, and Dylan, and Dylan was pushing that Chris Middleton is going to have a Danny Granger kind of end here, and which was insane to think about. You never realize that's happening until it's done, because you probably, like,
right.
upwards until, like, 2013, you're like, yeah, no, Danny Granger's still really good. Like, I promise he'll be back, and then it's over. Like, you don't see that coming, but maybe it is. Like, maybe Middleton just can't get back to that. Let's hear one more Harden trade from you. I have one more after that.
All right. So I have two. I have a weirder one, and then I have the obligatory Miami Heat or
please. New York. Let's hear everything you got. There's no rules here.
All right. So I'll do the other ones quickly because everyone talks about them in the media, the Knicks and the Heat. So the Knicks is a fairly straightforward Evan Fournier, Mitchell Robinson, and protected firsts. Again, not very exciting, but it's more of a panic move for the Sixers. It's not a lot of value. It's something that, if they feel like they've got their back against the wall and they have to get something out of it, that's what they do. Not very exciting. The other idea for the Heat is to use Harden as like a Damian Lillard contingency plan. Let's say they don't get him for some reason, and all of a sudden you do like a Tyler Hero and Caleb Martin. That money works out, and they don't appear to be in love with Tyler Hero. So you bring back a Miami Heat team that looks like, what, like Lowry, Harden, Adebayo, Butler. Harden, Adebayo, Butler is it's a pretty good, pretty big three. I think the Miami Heat would be pretty happy with that.
You'd get Butler and Bam to cover up Harden's defensive issues and toughness issues. For the Knicks trade, I wanted to note, I felt like the Knicks have to give up more. Like, at least RJ Barrett's got to be in that, or Quentin Grimes. And there's no way they could just get off the Fournier contract and that's it.
It makes the money a little bit harder if you don't include Fournier. Because Barrett doesn't make quite enough. And I don't know if the Knicks would just do like a Barrett for Harden swap. I think they might Barrett.
They would. They would drive him to the airport personally. Here you go, RJ. Straight to Philly. There's a cab. It's actually not that far away.
Yeah. The more interesting Harden move I had was another one of the deadline things. Because I wanted to look towards, because I think there's a pretty real chance here that Daryl Morey is stubborn, especially now that he got, like, Harden got fined that little slap on the wrist. It's not a slap on the wrist, it's $100K. But With that being said, I think there's a pretty high chance that this turns into sort of a standoff that leads into the season, which allows me to sort of pivot into what if the Grizzlies are sitting there 25 games into their season, Ja Morant's been suspended, and it's looking kind of rough. Do you think the Grizzlies would entertain a Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard for James Harden? That's a deal that Daryl Morey accepts yesterday. He would take that.
Really? Why?
Because I think the Marcus Smart plus Tyrese Maxey backcourt, you've got your offense, you've got your defense, and then Luke Kennard as an add, that's just a guy that feels so Sixers. It's the sort of guy that every contender needs, especially with a Joel Embiid down the center. He just runs around, he hits his threes. He plays okay perimeter defense. He's like Kevin Huerter, you know? He's a little worse. But I think Daryl Morey, especially later into the season, looks at that Smart and Kennard thing and thinks, I could still compete with these two guys. Those are serious playoff performers. I mean, Kennard isn't, but he's a shooter. But Marcus Smart is a defensive player of the year. He's a proven playoff commodity. He played in the finals. I don't know. I like it.
I'm interested if the Grizzlies added more picks. I just don't feel like there's enough value on its face to say, yeah, the Sixers would accept that. But I think a lot of this hinges on Maxey. If Maxey takes that step and the Sixers are like, screw James Harden, I don't need that guy. Like, I don't have to get the value back. I just have to get enough to make this a true contending team. And if that's the move, if it's Smart, if it's Kennard, I'm kind of interested if Maxey takes that leap. If he doesn't, and they realize, okay, Harden actually, or not just Harden, but what a star level player means to us, is a difference between contention and not contention. I think they'd put their heels in the ground a little bit more on that. But I like the Grizzlies kind of panicking a little bit and saying like, oh man, like this isn't working. And the Harden jaw thing is interesting. I don't even know, right? If I can comprehend what that would look like. I'd have to see it in practice, just because jaw is such a drive and kick, and I don't even know what Harden does at this point, but I can't imagine it happening at the same time.
That's a very dynamic looking offense. If they're running something that looks like jaw, Harden, not Brooks anymore, but like Aldama, Jackson, Adams, that's a very tall, because even Harden is like a relatively tall guard.
Oh, yeah.
You allow Ja Morant to score a little bit more often. He doesn't have to rely on his playmaking, which is fine. His Ja can playmake all right, but his real calling card is his scoring ability, his ability to get inside, finish around the rim. His three-point shot is whatever. That's not really his game. But Harden can also stick out. He can make his threes when he's feeling it. Sometimes he's really cold from three, so that's worrying. But he opens up the interior for Ja to open up, to work a little bit. Doesn't have to play make quite as much. I think that's an interesting offense. You've got a lot of dynamic guys. Aldama and Jackson as your forwards. They're going to be able to rotate around. It's hard to stop that sort of offense.
Sure thing. I love the creativity. All right. For my last Harden trade, get spicy. An Eastern Conference team trying to take the leap into the playoffs. The Magic get Harden. The Sixers get Fultz back. Suggs, Anthony Black, a 2024 and a 2026 first. I like it because the Magic are taking that leap. They're not sacrificing too much, but they're giving up some of their young depth to say, hey, we're going to go Harden and Franz and Paolo, and we can probably win like 50 games with this group.
Mm-hmm.
The Sixers, Daryl Morey has fallen asleep. Someone else is taking control, making deals without his permission, and they get three young guards. One of them is going to work, plus some assets. Another reasonable team would say, hey, Harden, get Harden out of the building. Give us some young players and some picks. That makes sense. I'm going to say they would take that deal.
I think they would take that deal. I'm almost worried the Magic are giving up a lot there. I think they really like Fultz over there. They like Fultz. What about Cole Anthony? Like adding another pick and using Cole Anthony instead?
Either one's fine. Sure. Another pick and Cole Anthony. Because let's be honest, Anthony and Suggs aren't good. But maybe Black is good. The thing is, one of them's got to be good. You can't say here's three guards, two of them we know are bad, and one of them is a rookie.
Is a rookie.
Say, give us James Harden, please. But
I still believe in Suggs.
No, I do. I don't know.
His defense is great. His defense is really great.
Yeah, no, sure thing.
I sound like I'm defending Frank Ntilikina all over again. But
and Davion and who's the Bulls guy? Who's that Bulls guard they had? It wasn't the Bulls. I don't remember. I wish I remember. Chris Dunn.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, yeah, Kristaps.
Defending all those guys. He's so good on defense. Yeah, but he's the worst offensive guard in the league.
Yeah, yeah. Is that your final Harden? I think that's fun. I have wanted the Magic to do something like that for a while. I sort of thought they were going to do Fred VanVleet. I thought that was something they might pursue. But I think that's interesting. Having playmake for Franz, Paolo. People don't talk about Paolo enough. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Moving on. We know Harden's going to get moved, or at least that's where all the coals are burning. Embiid is less in the conversation, but it might happen. So what's your first Embiid at trade possibility?
I would be pretty shocked if Embiid sticks around. Like, I know the city loves him, and he seems to love the city. But at a certain point, a player that is that good can't lose in the second round forever. He can't just throw away his potential to be an NBA great, which he is. He's a very good player, but he's stuck losing in the second round because of Philly. So I'll do a more interesting one. And let's think about, we talked about the Pelicans earlier, and it's a similar package. The Pelicans. The Pelicans trade Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas, Dyson Daniels, and 4 first-round picks.
Holy shit. And 4 first? I mean, they have the picks to do it because of the Holiday and the Lakers thing. I'm guessing these are some of the
Lakers swaps. Some of them you could protect. Some you could swap, exactly. Like, a lot of them are, a few of them I have as Lakers swapped. A few are the Pelicans themselves. But they have accumulated a lot of first-round picks, and they're kind of not in a position where they need to wait on their young talent. Zion is, what, 23 at this point? His knees are 60. McCollum is, you know, over the hill at 30. They need to do something. And they don't really seem to be that in love with Brandon Ingram. They're not handing him the keys or anything. So maybe they don't love him enough. Maybe they don't love him enough to ship him out for Embiid.
It's so tricky with the Pelicans because it feels like if they were just healthy, they could win like 52 games just as is. But they have all these picks and the potential for more, but their players can't play on the court together. I mean, if that team's healthy, blah, blah, blah. I've said 1,000 times. But if you get Zion and Embiid on the court at the same time, who's stopping that at down low? No one's stopping that down low. You'd have to go for that. And in the Pelicans' position, it's okay to overpay. You have enough talent to contend. You have enough assets to say, hey, we'll give you whatever the hell you want for the reigning MVP. Just get him in the building.
Right. And all of the trades I wrote out for Joel Embiid are massive returns because, again, reigning MVP and the market is, you know, this is just what the market is now because Rudy Gobert just got a deal, or the package to get Rudy Gobert looked just like this. And we're talking about a significantly better player.
They're going to build a statue of Tim Connelly. Tim Connelly, right? In front of the Jazz arena. That was a ridiculous trade that's going to ruin a lot of things because people are going to say, hey, that's what Gobert is worth. And
yeah,
that's literally that's the max you can give up. It's the most you could possibly trade for one player is what Gobert got. And so you can't ask for more. And Gobert's not that good.
Walker Kessler ended up being really good.
Yeah, the players were better than Gobert. And so I feel like a lot of those negotiations go, hey, this is what the T-Wolves got or gave up for Gobert. And the other team's going to say, we're not the Timberwolves. We're not stupid. Like, don't compare us to them. We're not making that deal. For the MVP, Ingram plus 4 first, it's like the Anthony Davis package, like in reverse.
It is, yeah. It's very similar to AD package in reverse. Because you're also getting Dyson Daniels like Lonzo and Valanciunas like no one.
Yeah.
But I also just really like the idea of, I think the Sixers are probably okay with that return. I think they still are remotely competitive. You have at that point Maxi and all these young assets. Dyson Daniels looks good. You've got Brandon Ingram, who's still 27. Even Valanciunas is a really solid starting center. I don't know. Keeps them contending. And you get a lot of decent draft assets.
I'd be way more excited for the Sixers if they did this trade and one of these Harden trades you mentioned, like the Magic one I mentioned, and it's like now they're this young team with a ton of assets, and there's nothing more exciting to be than a young team with a ton of assets, but they also, I feel like, would just make the playoffs outright. I'm going to move on to my Embiid trades. They're pretty spicy, I'm not going to lie. Went kind of crazy. The first one, the Cavaliers get Embiid, pairing him with Donovan Mitchell. The Sixers get Jared Allen, Isaac Okoro, Ricky Rubio, and Evan Mobley. What do you think?
So wait, you're giving up Allen and Mobley in this deal?
Yeah.
Damn.
Damn, reigning MVP prices, man.
Yeah, Mobley is his trade value might be one of the highest in the NBA right now. That's a big piece. So no picks here, right? No picks.
No picks, okay, on the table. You get Evan Mobley. You no whining, Daryl. You got to take him. And plus, you get Allen and Okoro and what's left of Ricky Rubio.
Okay, Okoro moves my needle nothing. I think Okoro is not an NBA asset at this point. But you're sort of instantly, with that move, getting the best defensive front court in the league just by the nature of one trade. Do the Cavs do that? Because what does that roster look like after? It's just Mitchell, Garland. Okay.
Yeah, it's Mitchell, yeah. Garland, and it's Embiid. And like we said, Okoro isn't really important, and Rubio probably isn't going to play much. And so you're essentially saying, all right, no Allen, no Mobley, but we have Embiid now. That team last year smokes the Knicks in the first round. They had rebounding issues. They had issues down low. Mobley didn't have a great series. Allen had a terrible series. All of a sudden, even if Embiid, it drops his level in the playoffs like he has before, that's a conference finals team. Be honest, that team beats the Knicks and they beat the Heat, and all of a sudden you're in the conference finals.
That Cavs team is just sick defensively. If they were to lock down some three who could play a little defense, that's a finals team, honestly. The Sixers look pretty good after that. You've got a young big three. I think this actually is a serious win-win for both teams, because then you're looking at a young big three in Philly. That's Maxey, Mobley, Allen. I know Allen's not that young. I want to say he's like 25. I actually don't know how old he is. He just seems young. He's 25. So, yeah, he's young. I think Daryl Morey takes that yesterday. Yeah, I think that's a great trade. So since we're talking about spicy ones, I'm not gonna even mention my Heat and Knicks ones, because everyone has a Heat and Knicks one. All right, I'm going to let you pick. I've got a Pacers heater and I've got a Thunder heater. What are we thinking?
Got to hear the Thunder heater.
Yeah. All right. Well, for Joel Embiid, the Thunder give up Isaiah Joe, Davis Bertans, Victor Oladipo, and Chet Holmgren.
Wow, okay. And all of their picks.
And all of their picks. Not all of them. It wouldn't be all of them. I think something, probably do like 3-4 firsts, bunch of seconds. But the big piece you're getting is Chet Holmgren.
For sure.
The Thunder, rest aren't important.
Yeah. The Thunder just loom over every trade ever, because they haven't really done anything, but they're like, I have enough first to buy your entire team. Like, your existence could be mine with a wave of one first-round pick. I love that deal, because all of a sudden it's Shea and Embiid. And
Thunder team looked pretty solid, and Chet Holmgren wasn't even a factor. He wasn't playing. And you're looking at a Shea, Giddey, and all of a sudden now Jalen Williams has become something. Joel Embiid fits. He's a little bit older, so he doesn't perfectly fit the timeline. But if you want a big that's a sure thing and not going to be, you know, some sort of injury. I mean, not to say that Embiid isn't an injury liability, but because he is. But you're just replacing Chet Holmgren with a proven commodity, so you don't have to worry about that third star developing. You just get the third star.
Absolutely. I mean, I love it. I love it because it puts SGA and Embiid on the same team. I mean, the Thunder were literally playing Jalen Williams at center in those play-in games against the Wolves. Like, they didn't have a center. They traded Muscala to the Celtics, and you're left with...
Jalen Williams is going to eat smaller power forwards and small forwards up alive. If he doesn't have to play fives, he's going to score a lot more.
Man, I think we're cooking something, man. I really do. All right. I'm going to the next one. Yeah, going to the next one. Going to the next Embiid trade. We don't spend too much time on this. It is like 90 cents on the dollar, but it's all in pennies. It's not in, there's no quarters. In this situation, Embiid takes the hardest road, and this is reference to their meltdown against the Hawks years ago. And the Hawks get Embiid and PJ Tucker. The Sixers get Clint Capella, Onyeka Okongwu, Sadiq Bey, Kobe Bufkin, AJ Griffin, the 2024 pick from Sacramento, a 2029 first, and a 2030 swap.
Whoa. So they just give up a third of their team for Embiid?
Kind of. But you're left with this Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Embiid, Bogdan Bogdanovic thing, and they'd be really good. It's kind of the same thing in terms of just swapping their front court of Capella and Okongwu for Embiid, like I did with Mobley and Allen. And then, trade both your wings and your rookie and some of your picks. all of a sudden the Hawks are really good though.
What about Murray?
I thought about it. I felt like in this situation, like why would the Sixers want DeJounte Murray? Are they? I don't. He's not that good. He's not. He's like
kind of fringe. He's pretty good. 50. He's not.
Yeah. He didn't make our top 50 in the list. He didn't.
Oh, okay.
I tried to make the argument at like 49. That's where I had him, and Dylan shit on that. Yeah. So, sorry, Dylan.
I think that's interesting. So, what does that leave the rest of the roster beyond those three guys looking? So you have Bogdanovich. The rest of that team starts looking kind of rough.
You have, it'd be Trae Young, DeAndre Hunter, Bogdanovich, DeJounte Murray, Patty Mills, Jalen Johnson.
Patty Mills was the fourth name you mentioned. That's not a good sign.
Wesley Matthews, I think he's on the team. Bruno Fernando, and then, yeah. But you're looking at a rotation of Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, whatever the hell you want to do at power forward, and Joel Embiid. At that point, just figure it out.
Right. That team is interesting. They're just going to have zero. They're going to have to run out there with nothing in terms of depth.
How about I exchange some firsts on that and they get to keep like AJ Griffin?
Okay. Yeah. They're
a better.
Okay, like, see, I think I'm liking that a little bit more. And I really like AJ Griffin as a piece. I think the Hawks are going to want to hold on to him. I mean, obviously, if you have an opportunity to trade for Joel Embiid, you'll do it. But I think they really like AJ over there.
I wonder if the money still works on that one. Maybe you have to take. Maybe PJ Tucker comes back. Mm-hmm. Anyways, some finessing to do in that one. Let's hear your next Embiid trade.
I ran everything through a trade machine just to make sure because
I did.
Yeah, I did. Thought it'd be funny. So I'm going to go with the Pacers next. And this is just operating under the assumption that the Pacers realize, hey, this Haliburton guy is a baller. And I mean, you and I know how good Tyrese Haliburton is. And I think the rest of the league is starting to really realize how good he is. And this is the Pacers saying, hey, listen, we need to win now. We've got this young guy. We've got him under, you know, a relatively cheap contract. So let's win. Let's make a big swing while we still have the money to do it. So the Pacers give up Miles Turner, Benedict Mathurin, Daniel Theis, TJ McConnell, and 3 to 4 unprotected firsts for Joel Embiid. Now, you might need a little bit more from the Pacers to make that trade go through. I didn't want to include both Mathurin and Nembhard, but I chose not to because I think that might be too much. If too much even exists,
it may need a little more. It may need just a touch more, although I'm not entirely sure.
Maybe like Isaiah Jackson, Jalen Smith.
Yeah, sure. Throw in one more young guy. It's interesting. The Haliburton piece. I mean, I wish we did this before, and we could have been here when the Haliburton trade happened. I know where I was. I was driving to school. And I was on the freeway, and my phone just starts going just ballistic. And it's we traded for Sabonis. I'm like, oh my god, because at the time, and I was fully in the boat. And I've come around, and I defended at the time because I'm not going to say it was a bad move, but I said that we should trade Fox to the Knicks and keep Haliburton, and like let's go the other way.
Fox to the Knicks trade.
I have no idea what it was at the time, but they had like picks and RJ Barrett and stuff. And I'm like, I'll take that. And I want to get worse. And then I want to build up because this Haliburton guy is really special. It went the other direction and it ended up working out. Yeah.
I was just at that point in time, I was just rooting for anything except for Ben Simmons. I wanted nothing to do with Ben Simmons. I was really, really, really terrified we'd do it. And apparently we accepted it, but Daryl Morey said no, which is terrifying to think about because I mean, obviously, I didn't know that Simmons was about to massively fall off. I wasn't psychic, but I just didn't like him as a player. So I wasn't a big fan.
That would have been, I mean, there's a timeline where, like, I don't do any of this anymore. Like, that trade breaks me to the point where I don't watch basketball. If we had done, like, the Ben Simmons trade, because, I mean, I was out on him when he was doing after the playoff series, after that entire thing. I'm like, this guy isn't that good. Even if he wants to play. Thank God we dodged that. But all right.
I would not have existed. I would not be doing this right now. No way.
Great Pacers trade. Gets them up there with Embiid and Haliburton. What a fun duo. My final one, we're going back to the Clippers.
Okay.
Not as exciting, but I think it's exciting in on the court. The Clippers get Embiid and Korkmaz gets his trade request finally fulfilled. His salaries match. He finally gets in. The Sixers, they get Zubac, they get 2 seconds for fun, and they get Kawhi Leonard. I think that's the swap. I don't think it's Paul George. I don't think it's a bunch of assets. I think it's a straight up Embiid and Kawhi swap.
It's so what is Kawhi Leonard's trade value right now?
It's a Joel Embiid and Korkmaz.
All right, there's something that makes me so uneasy about Kawhi Leonard as an asset to another team, because you can't really count on him to play, and it's not an injury. I mean, it is an injury thing, but it also sort of seems like it goes beyond that sometimes, where like I remember there was lots of times last season when Ty Lue didn't know if Kawhi was playing. He's like, I don't know, maybe Kawhi will be here. And it's like, well, he doesn't sound like he's hurt anymore. It sounds like a communication issue. Where does that leave the Sixers? So Kawhi is how old now? 34? Something like that?
I don't think he's that old.
He's up there. He might be, maybe he's early 30s, but he's at least over 31.
He's 31. No, he's 32. Just turned 32 months ago.
So that Sixers team looks like Maxi, no Harden, presumably.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Can we pick our two favorite, or when we're done, I want to pick our two favorite Embiid and Harden trades and mash them together and drop what that Sixers team looks like.
Oh, yeah. Okay. On the Kawhi Leonard thing, though, what do other picks exchanged in some direction here?
There's 2 seconds going to the Sixers.
Right.
You can throw in some more if you'd like.
So, I don't know. Do either teams come out of that as like a contender? Right? Like the Sixers are looking at it. I don't think that Sixers team contends, right? It's Maxey and Leonard.
Yeah. Maybe, though. I don't know. It just depends what the Harden trade is. And then
it also depends if Leonard is, you know, playing or not.
Yeah. I think the ceiling on the Sixers would be higher because mm-hmm. Kawhi on the court is better than Embiid on the court. And then the stability for the Clippers is better. Because while Embiid does get banged up, he consistently plays. Like,
he does.
At least he plays at the end of the season.
Right. He does show up a little bit more than Kawhi. So then the Clippers would be sitting there with, you know, PG and Joel. They still don't have a point guard. I mean, you've got old Russ at that point.
Yeah.
When do we think this Harden, like the timeline of this? We haven't really talked about when this trade would occur. I was sort of operating under the assumption that it was at the end of this season.
When did the Ben Simmons trade happen? I want to know when the Ben Simmons deal happened, and then we can say, like, it was prior to the season, or, like, just a few days in.
Might have been, like, a week into the year, something like that.
Looking it up?
I'm not looking it up. I'm looking it up. Joel Embiid's contract. I'll look it up myself. Okay.
So Harden was traded for Simmons February 10th.
Oh, so then that's the offseason, right?
No, yeah. That's the trade deadline.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
That's right, because Harden played half mm-hmm. a season in... In Brooklyn, and then that whole thing fell apart. Knowing Morey, so, if we don't see it right now, he's gonna wait until it comes, until someone hits the panic button, some team blows up.
So Embiid is under contract until not. So he's got this year, he's got his next year, 2024, 25. He's got 25, 26, and then he's got a player option in 27. I would be pretty stunned if he took it. Now, that's of course, saying betting on the Sixers not making any forward progress past the second round. If the Sixers are making it, you know, if the Sixers spend the next 2 years in the finals, and they're in the conference finals, they make a finals appearance, they win a finals, then I think Joel sticks around. But if they don't, I doubt that player option gets picked up. He's 32. That's sort of his last chance as a center to get a massive payday. Generally, centers age out at a certain point because there's more wear and tear on their body. 32-year-old Joel Embiid would still get a big long-term deal. You know, he takes that, then he's looking at it like a 35-year-old Joel Embiid is not getting that same deal.
It's going to be interesting to see. I think Embiid is going to look for that long-term stability. I can imagine he picks up the player option or picks it up and then negotiates something else longer. But I'm thinking the Harden deal happens before the season. I can't imagine the Sixers, knowing now the clock is ticking on Embiid, would trot out there with a team that may not even be good to start. That might foster unhappy feelings and desires of a plane ride to somewhere else. But do you have any more Embiid trades, or do you want to pick our two favorites to combine and what would do best for the Sixers?
The other Embiid trade that I had were the Heat and the Knicks ones, which are pretty, like, everyone, those are like the teams that yeah. people talk about with Embiid and Harden. The Heat trade is pretty standard. Everyone has talked about this trade for years. It feels like it's Bam, it's Tyler Hero, it's Nikola Jovic, some firsts. Knicks would be Mitchell Robinson quickly for Embiid.
Okay, so for a second I thought we were talking about Harden. I got mixed up. Holy shit, it's way too much.
No. No, this would be for Embiid. You do Bam, Tyler, Jovic firsts. Knicks, yeah. You do Robinson, Quickly, Fournier, five firsts. Or conversely, you do Barrett, Quickly, Robinson, two firsts.
That Knicks package sucks. The Knicks package is terrible. It's two players that aren't good.
People want a star to be in New York so badly and just forget that New York just doesn't have the assets to do it. And it makes me laugh every time that a star player gets linked there because, like,
cool. At least they're good. At least they're good again. Although, dude, I miss like 2016. 2016, the Knicks and the Lakers were like the worst teams in the league. Man, NBA media never got better than that.
That was a fun time. I can't wait for the Lakers to be bad in a couple of years. It's gonna be great.
I know, man. I look forward to it. I hope it happens. You know, it's so rare, so rare. But all right, I'm gonna pick two of my trades that I like the most. I'd like to combine for contending status. I'm gonna say the Kawhi one, which is kind of strange. I think the Clippers definitely would like that more than the Sixers. But combined with the Pelicans one and the Sixers getting McCollum and Daniels and a pick swap, I think you have the best team left. It's Maxey, it's McCollum, it's Kawhi, Zubac, and you get 2 seconds and one more first. It improves yourself in every way. More picks in the treasure chest, more players on the court. That's my contending pick.
Yeah. For Harden, I mean, again, you'd have to wait until the deadline to do it, but the Grizzlies one is pretty solid for contending because, again, you're getting two pretty proven and ready players with Smart and Kennard. But I also really like the Miami thing. So if I had to combine them for sort of contending, that contending angle, I would take the Miami Harden trade, which is the Dame contingency plan's hero, Caleb Martin. You know, maybe it's Duncan Robinson instead of Martin, but I think to make Morey say yes, you got to include Caleb Martin. And then you also pair that with the Pelicans one, where you end up getting Brandon Ingram. That team down the line, you've got Maxey, Hero, Ingram, Caleb Martin, Jonas Valanciunas, Dyson Daniels. That team is pretty solid. Like, that's a solid playoff team, I think. And then you also just, with that, get a ton of firsts from New Orleans.
Man, Daryl Morey should call us. He should come on the pod. He goes on the Bill Simmons pod. Why doesn't he come on the Hoops Temple pod? This is just, I don't understand the bias in the media today. But, well, this is fantastic. Great exercise. Really good trades. Jack, where can the people find you?
You can find me right on TikTok, like you can find Mr. Chairs, Jack the Kings fan, on TikTok.
That's right. That's where I'll be. Possible Chairs, one word. Possible Chairs, two words gets you like chair stuff. Not a chair, basketball takes. Possible Chairs, one word.